to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go.
For like a month in, you just said the funniest things you've ever said to me. And it was off the air.
That's how I like to do it, you know? I want to hide my genius.
I was just asking Jay about a weekend. And I said, did you go out? Did you have some fun? She said, I always go out. And I made some ridiculous comment. And she said, what did you say? What did you say? What you said?
What? I said, I got to do it. You don't do it anymore.
Hey, old man, you don't do it anymore. The sad thing is you're not wrong. Nice night Friday. Well, a great night Friday night, actually, at Zany's. And by the way, I sound worse than I am, just so we're clear.
Yes, I want all the details of your show.
It was great. We had a really good time and a great crowd. Great crowd. Not a huge room. You know, the St. Charles Zany's, I don't know, it's probably 200 people. But that kind of makes it better in a lot of ways.
Is that your favorite thing to do?
Stand up?
Yeah.
No, this show is.
No.
No, really is.
No,
really?
Golfing is.
I'd like it to be later. Oh, I thought you meant professionally.
Yes. Well, I mean, I feel like you, I don't know, you really...
I like being on stage. The prep is like a colonoscopy prep for me. It's that bad. Because I can't remember stuff anymore.
Is that because you're with John DeCoste?
Well, that makes it worse.
Do you have notes, like, printed on your hand?
No, but I did have a cheat sheet on stage.
Oh, really?
You don't have the cue cards like Bob Hope used to have.
Right here!
Like on a pizza box or something, you put your...
Oh, Richard Lewis. I remember when Richard Lewis had... Richard Lewis and his contract writer had a baby grand piano on stage. Now, he doesn't play. But the reason he had a baby grand is because he wanted to lay out sheets of notebook paper with his jokes on the sheets.
There you go.
Wow.
So I had a little table on stage where you could, you know, place a bottle of water and other assorted things you'd have on stage, you know, because you'd have a lot. I'm kidding. And then I pulled the little table over next to me and used it ostensibly as a place to have the bottle of water, but I had my cheat sheet there. Because I'm telling you, I can't remember my set anymore. And I did a lot of new stuff. And since I did a lot of new stuff, I spent most of Friday afternoon going, no, oh, God, so I was having a really miserable time getting ready.
You know what? That would be funny, though. You know how they have the little table you were saying with the bottle of water? What if you had everything on there possible that you would need to soothe and comfort you?
Oh, wow. Imagine
like
that.
Like, it would have like 20 items.
Sure.
Like, you'd have lozenges. You'd have like...
Well, stuff I just have at home,
right? A spritzer. Yeah. Like, you'd have...
Slippers.
Like your favorite, you know, binky blanket.
John DeCoste was very funny. Tim Benker was very funny. And of course, Toomey killed it, as always. Mike Toomey from Channel 9.
So he's the funniest?
He's one of the greatest stand-ups in the country.
Really?
Right, he's really good.
Huh.
He's really, really good. There's a, you know, the following an act is, there's a chemistry to it in stand-up comedy, and you don't want to follow somebody who...
is fantastic.
Well, there's that, but also blows a room up. Let's say you are the more cerebral thinking sort of comic.
Okay,
the
one that would be you, me.
Yes, that's okay. And so you wouldn't want someone to go up before you who is loud and abrasive and Sam Kinison-like.
Yelling at everyone.
Right, because the crowd is tuned up in a different way. So in my case, I didn't want to go up after Mike because Mike's really good.
Ooh.
So
he is
good. Weren't you the highlight, though?
He's really good.
Yeah.
You were the headliner.
Well, headliner?
I sold the tickets. I didn't have to go on last.
Oh, so you're the bait.
You
bait
get to
switch.
However, I will be closing the show in Arlington Heights in a couple of weeks. We're going to be at the Metropolis in Arlington Heights on the 7th.
Oh, you better Saturday be really the funny 7th. Then.
Whew.
You have to come up with all new material, right? I mean, do you want to have all new material every time?
It's not all new material every
show. Oh, you just go to a new location, a new venue. Yes. So that way the jokes are new for new people.
There's guys out doing jokes they did 30 years ago.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right.
I like the idea of all new material every show. And then you jump off a bridge. But anyway, Arlington Heights, there's still some tickets left for that. Not a lot. In
what's the date?
At the Metropolis, again? September 7th.
Box office 847-577-2121.
Thank you, Super Joe.
Super Joe. That's getting brownie points on Monday morning.
Well, just doing his job, man. He heard me talking about it. He jumped on it, and he said, I'm ready with a plug.
And I already X'd out the link, so don't ask me again.
Okay. Wow. All right, that's fine. White Sox tickets later. Super Joe's question coming up. Also, Ryan Nobles from CNN. Hey, listen, if we're confused on this, you can't nuke a hurricane. There was a story that came up this weekend. You can't drop a nuke on a hurricane.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
The president suggested it. It's been, and he wasn't the first one to bring it up. It was brought up when Eisenhower was in the White House. And then they said, you know what they said? Then they said, you can't nuke a hurricane.
Okay.
And then they moved on. Okay. Eisenhower didn't bring it up. Somebody
well, he likes to revisit things. Even like the Greenland topic was something that was visited before.
From a scientific standpoint, too, you have to understand that the most powerful hurricane probably is the power of at least 10,000 nuclear bombs inside of it. So one nuclear bomb is probably not going to be enough. You're going to need about 10,000 of them.
Well, to me, the best visual would be, you know, the old like desktop fan,
mm-hmm.
the wire screen desktop fan.
Right, yes.
Let's say you took, Jell-O or yogurt.
And put it on top of it.
We threw it at the desktop fan. While it's spinning, what's going to happen? The yogurt, the water, the whatever is going to go over. That's what will happen. So the nuclear stuff you're trying to keep from, or I should say the hurricane you're trying to keep from going on shore would be way less damaging than the nuclear radiation you're now going to send on shore.
I would think that, I was thinking the same exact thing you were thinking. I mean, you're just adding more
visuals. Yes.
To it.
Yeah. I'm simple like that. All right. Also later, Dean with more on entertainment. Jared Payton's going to be on the show today. He's got something to talk about. So does Hamp. Hamp's going to talk about your Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a pal that ran in the triathlon turned into a duathlon.
Yes, I do. I want to ask her about it. I know she's been training for a really long time for it. Not really long. I mean, she's already super fit. Her name's Danielle Robay. She was a local news personality. And local celebrity.
Where'd she work, Channel 7?
She worked over at the Jam at WCIU. Okay. She was one of the first hosts.
What's
there.
She doing now?
She's hosting,
a social media influencer?
Yes, and she's hosting all sorts of things all over. She's on national. She pops in a lot on national talk shows, and then she does an NBC show out in California, and then she does stuff in New York.
So she's a hustler.
She's all over. She's amazing.
Okay.
Like, I mean, incredible. But her first triathlon, or duathlon now.
Yeah, because they couldn't do the swim.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Steve didn't do it. When he heard they couldn't do the swim, you decided you'd wait till the next one, Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to wait till that. I'm training for the maybe the next one, yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
You guys will have to ask Dave about his big mud run on Saturday.
Oh, the mudder's coming up.
Yeah. He did it already.
Not forgotten.
No, the breakdown of the mudder
is
coming
the breakdown.
Up. Yes, okay. Yes.
From the Steve
Cochran. It's 6:21. It's time now for the top six at six. We have another computer failure there, Joe?
Looks like it.
Okay. So you'll let me know if we can play commercials and things like that?
We'll do.
Okay.
Oh, starting the morning off right, the week off right.
The 6 o'clock ghost. Item number one, former Illinois rep Joe Walsh, heard on this show last, was it Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday?
It was last week.
Announced Sunday that he will run against President Donald Trump in the Republican primary for president. What did he say when I asked him? Do you remember? I asked him if he's going to run, and he said something like, it has been brought up or something like that.
So he knew.
Oh, yeah.
He should have just let you break the news.
Mm. It's okay, Joe. It's okay. Joe's going to be on the show tomorrow, by the way. Tomorrow at 7:40. And I could be wrong about this, but I would think this means WIND as an open afternoon show, so apply quickly. The former Tea Party congressman and current conservative radio host, well, former conservative radio host, I would think, because you can't be on. You can't be on if you're running for office because it's equal time.
Right. You have to give somebody else a show.
Right. He said to...
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise...
There we go.
Better late than never.
Apparently it's working now. He was on This Week with George Stephanopoulos yesterday, and he's running because Trump, quoting Joe here, is unfit and somebody needs to step up. Still scheduled to step up is the former governor of South Carolina and former Congressman Mark Sanford. And who am I forgetting? There's somebody else. Sanford, Walsh?
Weld?
Bill. Oh, yeah, Bill Weld. Bill Weld is already in.
Grzanich for the win.
And Bill Weld is a very smart guy, former governor of Massachusetts. Very smart guy. Stiff as a board, but a very smart guy.
Well, that'll do him. That'll really help him win elections.
Item number two, Superintendent Eddie Johnson unveiled a new online tool aimed at illustrating his point by giving the public a quick way to see who's been arrested on gun-related charges and whether they've posted bail. If we're okay with how things are going, then if you're okay with how things are going, then don't look at it. It's the Gun Offender Dashboard. But if you want to know why we're suffering from some of the things we have, take a look and come to your own conclusions. This highlights where gun offenders have committed their crimes and posted bail and are back out on the street, which, of course, is a terrible idea all the way around. And judicial reform in the state, Governor Pritzker, hello. United Airlines is suspending daily service from Chicago's O'Hare to Hong Kong starting next month. United Airlines did not cite the ongoing protests in Hong Kong as a reason to cancel the direct route. Instead, the airline said it's seen a reduced demand for travel from Chicago. Despite the suspension between Chicago and Hong Kong, United remains the largest U.S. airline to HKG. HKG, the Hong Kong airport. Hong Kong has been facing mass demonstrations for nearly 3 months. The protests are sparked by a now-suspended bill that would allow fugitives to be extradited to China. China will retake full control of Hong Kong, right, in 2024.
Meaning they get to determine who the fugitives are. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not a nation.
No, it's still a closed society. It's
absolutely.
Yeah. So,
but did you see video of travelers that were going through the airport yelling at the demonstrators?
Hey, dude, it's not me. Hey, like, dude, I just want my bag.
You're really ruining my life right now because I'm about to miss my flight just because you're, you know.
I understand.
Protesting
it.
For your
you can protest your freedom and your life and all that. That's fine. But by interrupting regular travelers, this is what drives me crazy when folks get on Lakeshore Drive.
But they're trying
or
to
Michigan
get,
Avenue.
But they're trying to get international attention. They're trying to disrupt society.
But
Steve,
here's the thing: if you
because
get on,
nobody's going to pay attention.
If
otherwise.
You get Michigan, well, figure out a better way. If you get on Michigan Avenue or Lakeshore Drive during rush hour, you're doing exactly what I don't want you to do, and you're not enticing me to support your cause. You're enticing me to go get the hell off the road.
But I think people that are just going about their daily lives aren't really paying attention.
Well, you got to figure out a better way.
I think they have to do what they have to do.
Your Bluetooth connection is unsafe, very unsafe. That's the message the largest hacker convention put out this weekend. Bluetooth, which is a wireless technology for connecting everything from wireless earphones to car entertainment systems, turns out to be hacker heaven. It's bad enough that attendees at the convention, DEF CON, are advising to turn it off when not in use. As noted in Security Boulevard and Mashable, a couple of tech websites. I'd like to know more about this. So, Viv, let's find out somebody who can explain this at the lowest common denominator of intelligence, and that would be me. So somebody who can explain why your Bluetooth doesn't seem like a good idea anymore. Because I never have my location on, unless I need it. It's a battery suck for one thing, but in addition to that,
oh yes,
it helps people track.
But doesn't
or places track you?
It connects in your car, though. Do you have it connected in your car and everything?
Location?
Yeah.
Not unless I turn it on.
Okay.
Yeah. So my Bluetooth is on all the time. So when I get in my car, then it immediately pairs with my car. Right. So when I'm out of my car, the Bluetooth is still on. It's just not paired to anything. So this is kind of a concerning story.
Well, you know, the direct advertising that goes on every minute of every day now. I was somewhere this weekend. I don't remember where I would normally be. I wouldn't normally be there, so it stood out. And within Victoria's Secret, finding something for a little wear for the weekend, of course. But by the time I walked back to the car, my phone had three plugs for the store that I was just in.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're watching us. Everything is being watched. You mentioned one thing. I think it's constantly listening to you. You talk to somebody about it, and then boom, the advertising is on your social media.
Well, that's okay, because I like listeners. Next, Texas woman was sitting in the shade watching a YouTube video on how to find diamonds. Then she found one right where she was sitting. Miranda Hollingshead, age 27, was visiting the Crater of Diamonds State Park in Arkansas on a family outing. The park allows its visitors to search for diamonds in a designated area about 38 acres wide and long and tall. For a second, she glanced over to check on her child, and she saw a yellow diamond sticking out among the other rocks. No idea how much it's worth.
I love those stories when people find diamonds when they're just out hiking at those places that have been overmined and should have no diamonds left.
So 150, 60, 70 years ago, would you have been out in the Old West panning for gold?
Probably.
Okay.
And I'll be looking for any get-rich-quick scheme.
Yeah. Plus, you stay active. It's good for
you. Know, yeah.
You can still pan for gold. Like out in Colorado, there's a place, and some friends of ours took their kids there, and they actually found some gold dust.
Because you always hear stories like this where somebody's doing something like that, and then they do find a diamond.
You can do it at Wilderness Walk in Hayward, Wisconsin.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun.
Field trip.
Another 10,000 triathletes participating this weekend, Chicago Triathlon. The race now in its 36th year took place on Sunday. The swim was canceled due to unfavorable swim conditions. In other words, Lake Michigan was going to suck you to the bottom of the sea. And they did a duathlon instead. Does that mean they ran, biked, and then ran again?
I think they ran again, the portion that they would have swam. You would have been like, at that point, you would have said no.
No.
at that, or way before that point.
Did they really, or did they just do two things?
A full triathlon.
Oh, did they?
Well, it's a dual-a-thon.
True, but I thought...
Two events is a dual-a-thon.
Yeah, I was watching...
I think they ran twice.
I don't know.
I thought they did, but maybe I might be wrong.
That's awful if they did.
So it's 26.2, and then it's 100 miles or something on your bike, and then you get off and you got to run again?
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
It's not 26.2, and it's not 100 miles.
The Ironman is.
Yeah, the Ironman is, but this is not the Ironman.
Well, don't be laughing at me, Tough Mutter.
I'm not laughing at you.
I mean, I thought they ran again, too, but I could be wrong, but I was watching
how long is this one?
I know that it's... I think it's six, isn't it? 6 miles.
Well, I guess we don't know then, do we, Mr. Know It All?
I know it's not 100 miles.
So, anyway, congratulations to all. And Daniel Robay, who participated, will be on with us later this morning to talk about it. And Dr. Most will be on here in a few minutes to talk about health at 6:30. Steve will be next on 720 WGN.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP? Call Dr. Morse right now.
Dr. Kevin Most, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good.
Well, I'm not really doing fine. What am I saying? I've got my second summer cold. And here's the thing. I normally don't get a summer cold, so I wasn't scheduled for either one of these. And this is the second one. And it didn't feel like... Turn your microphone on.
Oh, yeah. You schedule your cold?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. I'm very busy. I don't have time to have cold. the thing is, Doc, I've got a sore throat, and I thought I had a fever. It turns out I didn't. I was just, feeling feverish.
Sure, it's not allergies. They're really bad right now, aren't they, Doc? Allergy. Everybody's got them.
No, it's a sore throat.
Absolutely. Yep.
What do you know? You're a doctor. No, the sore throat thing is really the only symptom. So what do you got, Doc? What do you do?
And it's good that you had a job where you don't have to talk a lot, so that'll be fine.
Yeah. He pushed through. Such a professional.
Yeah, and he never complains when he has a summer cold.
No.
Well, I schedule the complaints as well.
We never know he's sick.
No. We don't know he's sick, and we don't know when his birthday is. That's kind of unusual.
So what do I do, Doc? There's other people driving to work right now with a sore throat. It's not just me.
Yeah. One of the biggest things is, for those of you sitting around Steve, don't touch him, don't shake his hand, don't do any of that, so stay away from him. You should wash your hands frequently. The big thing right now for you is going to be pushing fluids as much as you can. Your throat is sore a lot because if you're congested at all in the nose and sinuses, you breathe through your mouth all night, so you wake up and you're like, wow, I can't even talk. So that portion of it, the vast, vast, vast majority, 99.9% of these are viruses. You do not need an antibiotic for this. But I think today's your day with Abigail Grace, so make sure that you kind of keep your distance from her. And it's very nice that you didn't blame this on her.
No,
because,
absolutely. Well, she's never done anything wrong. Why would I blame it on her now?
Correct. But we'll start to see now that school's back in session, you're going to see a lot more adults with colds because of their kids bringing them home from school.
Well, here's the weird part. I don't have any nasal congestion.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Doc, don't you think that Steve should maybe wear one of the masks that you see people wear on the airplane?
Would you like this for the rest of the show?
Yeah, he just would wear the mask all day. When he goes to see the grandkids.
Or should she and I just go home?
I think we're out of here.
I don't like any of those options. So how was your weekend?
Not bad. Hey, it's the first time I think that the rain started on Monday morning instead of Saturday morning. So it was perfect weather. You couldn't beat best weather. So got out and played a little golf with my brother, and that was fun.
And hi to Brad. Dr. Kevin Most is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Hi to Kurt as well. Hi to the entire Most family, for that matter.
Yeah.
And little Jerry Most is going to be our Blackhawks expert coming soon. He's 6, I think, right?
He is 7, and he's back at school, so yeah. 7.
So we're gonna pull him out of school.
Yep.
all right, so we have the first vaping death, an Illinois individual. Does this tell us anything, or do we need more, sadly, more people to be sick and die?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely need more information, but it is very concerning, this big, I shouldn't say big, substantial outbreak of severe lung cases, severe lung illness in individuals who have been vaping. Over 200 cases now. It's kind of interesting. It was clustered in the Midwest, and now it's kind of spread to about 16 states. And then, like you said, we had a death here in Illinois on Friday they're linking to the vaping. So the CDC is concerned. They're trying to figure out exactly what it is, what in it caused it, or was it a tainted cartridge that other things were put into it that caused this?
That's the concern, right? Because there's no regulatory body over vaping, I suppose, right?
Correct. Correct. And this illness is not to be taken lightly. I mean, you're talking about severe lung disease. Many of these people have ended up on ventilators. They have permanent lung damage. So, you know, there's lots of reasons to not vape. And this one hopefully will get the attention of people, and actually keeping it in the media is very important right now.
Am I wrong about this? I mean, isn't the primary reason for the boom of vaping is because people think it's better than smoking cigarettes?
Correct. Correct. They think it's safer than smoking cigarettes. Now, if you look at it overall, it is, right? There's 70 known carcinogens in cigarettes, and we have, you know, 45 million people smoking these. That's why lung cancer is as high as it is and heart disease is as high as it is. But really, the ploy for vaping used to be use it as a crutch to those individuals who want to stop smoking. And that's not how it's being used right now.
So what about the cigarettes portion? Are more people smoking or less?
No, you know, there is a slight decrease in the number of people smoking, which is good. But with this huge increase in vaping, that's the concern. You know, we have, especially in adolescents and teens, yeah. You know, nicotine is so addicting.
Too.
Exactly. Matter of fact, if you ask most of the individuals when they first start, they don't think that there's any nicotine in it. They think it's the flavoring at all, and they think it's so much safer. And yet that nicotine is so addicting, gets absorbed so quickly from our lungs into our brain, and that we get that hits a pleasure center, and then it's gone, and then you have this craving for more. So nicotine is highly, highly addictive, and people need to understand that nicotine is in these e-cigarettes.
The incidence of lung cancer, going up or going down?
Going up still. So we're still playing the catch-up for the people that have been smoking for the last 40 years. So we're still starting to see that. One of the issues we have now, at least one of the positive things I would say, is that we are at least doing screening now for any individual who has a history of smoking, who has quit, or has a recent history of smoking, so that we can do CAT scans now to do a lung screening. So most cancers, lung cancers, by the time you find them, are very difficult to treat. But we know if we can do this screening on the known smokers, so these are those individuals who are 50, 60, 70 years old, we can find it early enough where it can be a surgical cure. So we know there's still an increase because of the catch-up, but you're starting to see, hopefully, that the next generation, you'll see a decrease in lung cancer.
The nicotine problem is that it can cause a number of diseases, not just heart and lung. I didn't know this. Diabetes, too?
Yeah. Yeah. So nicotine, when you look at nicotine, it causes our heart rate to go up, causes our blood pressure to go up, causes inflammation, and, you know, as we show, a very large increase in the number of diabetics who use nicotine. So it's a drug that's not very safe and very concerning because of its highly addictive nature.
Your microphone again.
So, Doc, should we just go to the patch instead of the vape pen then if people are trying to quit?
Well, there's good things and bad things about both of them, right? So the patch is great because you can do the exact same thing that you can do with the vaping, where you can decrease the amount of nicotine that's absorbed. So you start with a patch that is higher in nicotine and then slowly taper down so that the nicotine portion of your craving, the addiction, is gone. You can do the same with the vaping pens. The other thing with the vaping pens is part of that addiction is the hand-to-mouth motion. You probably have seen people say, well, you know what, part of the way I'm quitting smoking is I'm going to have carrots or celery, so I always have that motion.
Why don't you carry around a kettlebell?
Yeah. But with the e-cigarettes, it gets to your brain so much faster than it does with the patch. So it's a tough one, and I think anything we can do to get people to quit smoking is one thing. But like I said, the vast majority of these people of using e-cigarettes is not to quit.
All right, we'll come back with more on this in a second. If you have a question, I'll try to get that in too. Text line is 312-981-7200. Again, I'm better than I sound. Of course, I usually think that, huh? sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Kevin Most, we're talking about vaping and cigarette smoking. And you were just talking about patches a second ago. What about the gum, the nicotine gum? Does that work?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, any of these that deliver nicotine to your body and get you that nicotine craving to decrease. So you have the patches, you have the gum, you have the vaping, and then there's also prescription medications, you know, Chantix and things like that, where we know that there's other prescription medications that may help to decrease the craving as well.
But you have to want to quit, right? You really have to want to.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is, you know, many studies have shown that about 70% of people that are smoking right now really would like to quit, but yet the success rate is about 3%. So it's very, very difficult. It just shows you how the addictive nature of nicotine is.
Yeah, my late father, who had a number of heart attacks, couldn't quit smoking.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody in my family couldn't quit smoking. At one point, my sister had a patch on and was still smoking.
Right.
And I was like, you cannot do that.
Because she's covered in patches, chewing
yes,
the gum,
like
and smoking.
Two patches and smoking, and I'm like, this is not working.
It's not good.
Doc, does it matter what you're vaping, or is all vaping dangerous? Because people are vaping all sorts of stuff.
Correct, G, and that's probably one of the biggest concerns. We know that this is a gateway to other smoking of other stuff, right? So if you look, and it's a gateway to regular tobacco, it's a gateway to marijuana. The flavorings have all been tested on intestinal taking it in, right? So we think about flavoring in foods. Well, the FDA tested those, making it go through your intestinal tract. We haven't really looked at it to say, wait, now we have this flavoring that's in the e-cigarettes. How is that impacting our lungs? And the other thing that's interesting, G, that you said is that, you know, we don't know what's in them. Well, they just did a study that came out last week that showed that even vaping that has no nicotine whatsoever in it, just everything else except the nicotine, still has an impact on our arteries in our body. So that is very concerning.
But what about people that have to smoke medicinal marijuana? Is it better for them to do it via vaping versus smoking?
There's probably not a huge difference there. It's probably almost safer smoking there, because then you don't have any of the additional chemicals that are used in vaping.
Oh, got it.
And a lot of those medicinal marijuanas are not like the tobaccos, where they have been treated with chemicals and all the carcinogens there. So the medicinal marijuana one is kind of interesting, of back and forth.
So you're recommending I go home and go to bed right after the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we weren't talking about that right then?
No.
I'm sorry. I lost track.
Oh, no. Yeah. He blacked out from the fever.
I would recommend, not blacking out, I would recommend more highly than ever, read the notes that we post along with Dr. Most podcast every day, because you got great stuff in here by smoking. You know, and Doc, if you could have parents get their kids to read this, or a wife for a husband, or a husband for a wife, just read it. It's actual medicine here.
Husbands aren't going to read it. They don't even go to the doctor.
Well, you know what? Read it to them out loud. Follow them around the house and read it out loud. Anyway, 312-981-7200 is the number here. Doc, for people that want to get your podcast, go to WGNradio.com or download the app.
You got it.
Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Take care, you guys.
Hey, before we move on here, I want to jump to Raymond. Raymond Cannon works for the Addison School District. Raymond, we were talking about Bluetooth last half hour and Bluetooth being hackable. What do you know about this?
So there's three different types of Bluetooth, and the one that most people's phones use is about 30 feet of range. It's actually fairly easy to get a device, and what hackers do, there's two different things, either blue snarfing or blue bug. That's what we call them. The snarfing allows them to connect to your device without your permission and download all your files, so texts and phone history. And the more dangerous one is the blue bug, and what they can do is actually remotely access your phone and then install malware.
So is this working like public Wi-Fi, the same sort of danger?
No. So what it is your phone naturally, unless you disable it, has Bluetooth on, and anyone within 30 feet of you can actually access it. So what they do is set up these devices in public areas where there's a lot of foot traffic.
So as long as your Bluetooth is on, they don't need a password. They can just get in through you.
Yep. And most of the time with these devices, it doesn't notify you when a Bluetooth device is connected. So they only need like 10, 15 seconds to install a malware on your phone, and then it will track everything they need to do, and then it will upload it to a server.
So do you recommend only using Bluetooth when you need it?
Yeah, I mean, I keep mine off. Most people now have smartwatches that connect via Bluetooth, and the problem is they'll keep it on so that way they can use their smartwatch, but it's just as dangerous.
Now, on my iPhone, we have AirDrop. So is AirDrop just a form of Bluetooth that we have on all the time?
AirDrop is its own proprietary programming through Apple. It uses your cell chip, so it's a little bit different. It uses data location, so it's a little bit different than Bluetooth.
Got it.
It's really good information, man. I appreciate it, and we may need you again. So, you know, hey, you know what? Give him an app gift card so you can go out and play amongst the electronics for helping us out on the show today.
He can probably buy something Bluetooth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Raymond.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Steve, do you have iPhone or are you Android?
Android.
Okay, so with iPhones, yes, we have the AirDrop. And have you heard now there's this thing where people AirDrop you images, whether you know them or not. So they're strangers and they'll AirDrop you a meme. Usually sometimes funny, but sometimes can be explicit or vulgar. So you've got to make sure to have your AirDrop off.
Like when you're in an airport. Why are they sending me stuff?
Just to be funny. So like if you're on a bus or the train or at the airport, all of a sudden you might, someone wants to send you this and it pops up on your iPhone. It could be something funny.
I see this on Instagram all the time where somebody wants to send you a message and it's, you know, a woman from a foreign land who wants me to give her money.
Well, that's a different thing. That's catfishing.
But don't you have to accept AirDrop?
Yeah, you do. But you still see it. You'll still see it pop up like the initial preview of the image.
Right.
I think the only way to be safe on technology now is to look at it and then throw it out the window.
You mean your phone?
Yeah, just throw it right out the window. Just toss it right out the window. It's the only way to be safe.
You have a lot of them backup phones, huh?
I have burner phones, yeah. Yeah, we got about 15 of them. You can find podcasts, as I mentioned, at WGNRadio.com or download the WGN Radio app. It's WGNRadio.com/Cochran or the WGN Radio app. You can get that right off the webpage or, you know, go to your iTunes store and your Apple store and Walmart. No, I mean, Google Play.
Google Play?
I thought I was better than I sounded. Maybe I'm not. At 7:02, we're back with the news next at 7:20 WGN.
Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life, but it is the right decision for me. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab. And it's been unceasing, unrelenting, both in season and off season. And I've felt stuck in it. And the only way I see out is to no longer play football.
Animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
You know, our friends at Chevy always support the Hamp. The hamster. You know what it is? It's a little hamster's on the phone.
You know, he doesn't like when you call him.
Oh, he doesn't?
Nope.
Is he listening right now?
Yeah, I think he is.
Dan Hampton joins us. And, Hamp, welcome to another season. Before we get into anything related to the game, I wanted to talk about Andrew Luck. You know, I've known you long enough to know when you were in a whole lot of pain, and I'm sure there's aches and pains every day, though you're in incredible shape. Did you ever come close to saying, I've had enough, before you finally wrapped it up?
Well, you know, good morning. I was shocked like everybody else, but, you know, everybody has to deal with the underbelly of professional sports, you know, in their own way. Look, injuries are part of the game. You just have to deal with them. Now, some people, they're able to maybe compartmentalize them and deal with them and move on. And I, the way I look at it is, hey, those are the hands you're dealt, and how you try to overcome those difficulties, you know, it kind of defines who you are. Now, obviously, as he said, you know, 4 years of, you know, battling back and trying to get healthy, then getting hurt again. And, well, you know, like I said, the whole thing is subjective. But I will tell you this. Andrew Luck could have been a special, special player. And at times he was. But we'll never know now. But, you know, I got to tell you, dealing with the injuries almost in an abstract way was really challenging. I mean, if I could have played 12 years healthy, it would have been almost too easy. It would have been almost like I was stealing money. It was the hard part about overcoming that was so challenging that when I look back, I'm like, you know, I'm really pretty proud of the fact that, you know, not only did I battle for 12 years, I was pretty successful, you know, continuing to come back. And I think I, 14, 15, the operations and the broken bones and fingers, hands, arms, all those different things. Hey, it's at the end of the day, it's pro football. It's going to happen.
How about the mental side of this? Because one of the things Luck referenced is, you know, just not having the mental the mindset anymore just to go through the rehab and all that. That's a really individual thing, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, and I'm not trying to denigrate the Indianapolis Colts, but on my team, I had a guy named Walter Payton that you would see him, you know, bruised, battered, beaten, you know, green, purple bruises everywhere. And not only would he not, you know, even mention it, he'd be the first one to get dressed to go out and practice. Never let it bother him. And when you see that type of exemplary, performance, you want to be like that. You want to, you know, and so everybody starts buying in. But down in Indianapolis, I guess, you know, hey, if you don't feel good, hey, it's time to retire and collect your big check. So all I know is, you know, Andrew Luck, in my mind, could have been special, could have been great, but, you know, obviously the injuries were too much.
He's made about $100 million in his career or something like that. He's leaving a lot of money on the table. But do you think, Hamp, that is a factor in this thing, that guys today, that this might even become less unusual because guys have made more money and he can afford, whether it's monetary or not, he can afford to step away from the game now. And maybe there are guys
who make the kind of money that Cochran and Andrew Luck, all these people make. I mean, at some point, you just say, enough's right? enough.
But, yeah. Listen, mentally, when I get up every morning, I go, should I really go in?
Do I really need to get in the car
right.
in my beautiful Chevy?
Right.
Let me just say this. You know, everybody plays the game for their own reasons. You know, when we played, obviously the money was nothing like this. But at some point, you know, there's that little fire inside of you that, should, you know, the money, you know, obviously for the group that I played with, money was it wasn't secondary. It was probably third, you know, on the list of the reasons why you're playing. But, you know, everybody, you know, and that's the thing. Khalil Mack last year was there was a lot of reasons why the people of Chicago. By the way, you know, the band played out in Iowa this weekend, and there were so many Bear fans so excited and cool. wearing number 52 jerseys. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, maybe Richard Dent or I or McMichael would say, hey, you know, this guy plays 1 year and everybody, you know, is all crazy. There's a reason why. He got a lot of money, and he came into town, and he a lot of times you see guys when they sign the big contract, they shut it down because they don't want to get hurt.
Right.
They don't want the money train to end. And he was just the opposite. You know, he played the game the way we used to. Like, he could care less about the money. It was all about his contributions to the team and the team winning. So, you know, everybody plays the game. You know, they got their own song that they got to dance to. I was real lucky. We had a bunch of guys with the money. We like to, you know, complain about it now, but at the end of the day, you know, I kind of feel sorry for people that, you know, they're playing for money. The part about this game that was so special is, hey, you have a chance to do something really, really great. And, hey, they pay you for it, but first and foremost, it's, you know, it's the team goals that matter.
Well, whatever you do in life, if you're successful, the money's going to come. And to be successful, you got to put the job first. All right. There's not a lot that I think you, even at your level of expertise, you Hall of Famer, can throw at us about this game, because I didn't see anything, because he doesn't play anybody that's going to play in the regular season. Did I miss anything?
No, that pretty much sums it up. The kicker, Panera, making a 58-yarder.
That's
good stuff. Here's my takeaway is at outside linebacker and receiver and cornerback. Three very, very specific skill type positions. They are much improved. And the further down this road to, you know, the opener we go, the more and more the, you know, the, what would you call it, the 800-pound grill in the room nobody wants to talk about is Mitchell Trubisky. Will he be ready? And every, you know, I was down at camp one day watching it. Wasn't impressed. A lot of guys I talked to that watch him on a pretty regular basis use the word uneven when they talk about Trubisky and training camp and how he's throwing the ball. And he, you know, one day he threw an interception and drills, you know, I think it was 4 days in a row. So all those things, you know, all the good stuff, you know, Javon Wims at receiver and Bradley Sowell now being the tight, all these things become so distant secondary because, hey, you know, it's about the quarterback. And, you know, we're going to find out. It's a week from Thursday. It all starts to matter. So, and I was talking with the great Ed Obradovich the other day, and he was basically saying, you know, a lot of people around the league now are not playing their quarterbacks. And he gets it. You know, when you're Drew Brees or you're Philip Rivers, these guys have played for, you know, over a decade. But our quarterback is still not started. I don't know. I think he started 20 games in the NFL.
Right.
So this is the big, you know, the big question mark. We're going to find out how, you know, everything shakes out on September 5th. But on paper, the team to me looks better. Will they be in better condition? I know that that was one of the subplots of the last couple of weeks was the fact that up in Green Bay last year in the opener, they seemed to wear down in the second half because they didn't play in the preseason. We'll see if, you know, they're going to show up, be in shape, and ready to go.
It's Dan Hampton, brought to you by Chevy, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Thank you, buddy. I'll talk to you this week.
Won't be long. Go Bears.
There you go. Less than 2 weeks away from the opener.
Can I just real quick call your attention to something?
Sure.
That Adam Hoge has written a term paper. It's on our website, WGNradio.com. Mm-hmm. What I learned from watching every pass Mitch Trubisky threw in 2018. He watched every play, broke it all down game by game. It's really, really well done and interesting. And
I saw that on the website, and I clicked on it. So there you go.
There you go.
But you stopped there. You didn't read it.
I read a couple paragraphs.
So you didn't go through every pass that
I'm being honest, but it intrigued me. Truly did.
It's good stuff.
He must have pulled a couple all-nighters for that.
I would think. Yeah. Well, he's going for extra credit.
Yeah.
We'll come back with the MVPP in just a moment.
People. Here's the thing. Can I have your attention, please, people?
The most famous.
Amazing.
Just great.
So great.
Awesome.
You rock my world.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet.
The MVPP. And we go to the phone now and say hello to Diane Latiker. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
You are the most valuable person on the planet. Were you aware of that? What is
so awesome.
What is your organization, Kids Off the Block?
Kids Off the Block is a youth organization. I started in my home in 2003. The kids from my neighborhood to help them not only develop, but to stay safe, have a safe place, and to get some community support.
And G, jump in.
Oh, yeah. And I'm hearing that the kids all call you Ms. Diane. How long have you been in the neighborhood for?
31 years.
Wow. So it wasn't enough that you had to raise your own children. You now are raising all the children in the neighborhood, too.
Yes. And around Chicago, we've impacted over 3,000 young people since starting 16 years ago.
And what does the organization do? Like, how do you help the kids discover what they might be interested in and put them on the right path?
So, okay. So we offer tutoring, mentoring, music, sports. We've been in 23 cities to literally get young people off the block and get them out into the world to let them know there are other opportunities besides their block. But we also do unconventional things. Like, we feed hundreds of young people for Thanksgiving and their families. We get kids out of gangs. We help dropout kids get back in school. And we help homeless kids. So we do things like buy coats in the wintertime because they wear 3 or 4 hoodies to school. We take kids back and forth to school because of gang lines. We do everything we can to let them know that they have support in their community to succeed, not only in education, but in life, and to feel safe within their community.
So, Ms. Diane, of course, you know, Chicago is so segregated within the neighborhoods. Can you, for somebody that's listening that might not realize the challenges that the kids in the neighborhoods are facing, can you describe some of the challenges that, you know, are facing the kids that you're helping?
Well, I want to say right off the bat that the biggest challenge is hope. A lot of these young people, they witness or hear about violence every day. So the biggest challenge is hope. The second thing they face is neighborhoods that have cliques in them, that this kid can't go on the next block from his own house. He's got to go all the way around. Or going back and forth to school. Just walking these blocks is a task within itself. Even families are afraid, you know. And I'm not saying that our community is so bad that they can't do that. It's just this thing with the violence that keeps a lot of young people grounded. You know, it's real.
It's real
within my community.
It's real and it's awful. Listen, I know you're getting a lot of attention from the neighborhoods. Are you getting attention in other places? And are people around the country aware of this?
Well, yeah, I've been invited to Dubai. I went to Dubai. I've been all over the country speaking. I spoke at the Superdome to 40,000 students. I've been all over this country speaking about the violence and what we face in communities like mine, because we're not the only one.
It's
across the country. And the communities look the same, like mine. So I'm getting the attention. I'm trying to bring as much exposure as I can to what's happening to young people that live in communities like mine. Is it easy? No. And it's because of the color of the skin, and I can't sugarcoat that.
No, it's absolutely part of the equation. Now, with eight kids of your own and all the other kids that you're helping survive, thrive, and maximize their life, give me one piece of advice for parents listening this morning to keep a kid between the white lines and to have them have a good life.
Listen.
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 I love that.
Listen to them. Make sure you listen to your child. Listen to young people around them. You will learn a lot.
I love that. You know what? That's why you're the most valuable person on the planet. Thank you for doing what you do every day.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. You got a website you want to throw out there for people?
KidsOffTheBlock.us.
KidsOffTheBlock.us, Diane Latiker.
Nuke the whales? You don't really believe that, do you?
I don't know. Gotta nuke something.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Sharknado 7. President Trump nukes hurricanes. Sharks blow everywhere. No, not buying it. Ryan Nobles from CNN joins us. Good morning, Ryan.
Steve, when I saw that story first come out about President Trump telling people to nuke the hurricanes, I said, this is going to be the first thing Steve Cochran's going to ask me about on Monday morning. And we've been doing this long enough that I've got you figured out.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can only do one. You can either buy Greenland or you can nuke a hurricane. What are you going to do?
Neither seem like a good option, but I think buying Greenland probably would, there'd be a lot less lives in danger if we to do that. Everything that the scientists say, I mean, it seems pretty pretty much common sense that throwing a nuclear bomb into a weather system that has the potential to impact the entire world and throw radioactive energy into that wouldn't make sense. But, you know, maybe I don't know all the particulars and the ins and outs about this particular theory.
Well, you know what what occurred to me is the image of a fan, like a desktop fan, and you take like Nutella. And you throw it at the fan. The Nutella's going to go everywhere.
And it would be disgusting and a mess.
Right. Yeah. And so the nuclear radiation would be flung at the people on land you're trying to protect. So this was brought up when Eisenhower was in the White House initially. But there are literally 60-year-old scientific debunking of this. So I don't know where Trump got it.
He was probably watching Chernobyl on HBO, and then probably he had an idea or something.
There's also no evidence that it would prevent the hurricane from not hitting condos on Florida's East Coast. So, I mean, there's just just, I don't know. He said, you know, he was emphatic that he didn't say that this morning.
Of course
so,
he didn't. No, absolutely not. No, it's totally made up because, you know, it's a normal thing you'd make up. Now, the G7 is not a hot automobile. It's a place where the biggest countries in the world get together to discuss economics and, frankly, the safety of the world, the success of the world. However, it was the G6 plus Donnie. So was he really ostracized? Did all the other kids play and they wouldn't let him sit at the lunch table? I mean, I can't imagine that.
Well, you read the reporting, and there's a lot of good reporting about the G7 from various outlets. I think the New York Times story this morning is really interesting because it talked about how, you know, you basically had the other six members of the G7 that kind of said, okay, listen, we all have our priorities here, and we're going to kind of independently go to President Trump on our own, and we're going to butter him up, and, you know, they think they described it was, you know, wrap it in a French crepe, and then kind of tell him the things that we disagree with him about, and then kind of push him to our way of thinking. And it's almost as if the French leaders, I think Macron from France says it better than anyone, have kind of figured out a way to manipulate Trump to a certain extent. And, you know, he's very much big on the surface flattery. And if you tell him he's wonderful, if you tell him if he's powerful, you tell him he's the most important person in the world, and then you say, oh, by the way, we should probably not back out of the Iran nuclear deal, that maybe you've got a shot at convincing one way or the other. But the problem with Trump is he can be in a room with someone, you know, at lunch with Macron, everything seemed to go well, and tell Macron everything he wants to hear, and then walk out of that room and say something completely
right.
different. So.
Right.
You know, I think in the grand scheme of things, just like the last time they did this in Canada and couldn't leave with like a unified statement of something, you know, it doesn't appear a whole lot was accomplished at this other than not, you know, preventing President Trump from blowing the whole thing up.
His word is worth nothing. He's proven that over the course of his career, not just in the last 2.5 years, but unfortunately it takes a lot of disappointment for people to learn that. Now, as we go forward here, there's a couple big stories that really ought to be front and center that aren't. One is the devastation of the Amazon and how Brazil, who has 2/3 of the Amazon, more or less, is just now getting on board with accepting help from the outside. This is a huge story. It's not getting the attention I think it deserves, but what do we do to fight this other than to send every fireman on the planet there?
Well, the first thing, as you pointed out, is that you've got to get help. You have to have the Brazilian government be willing to be a part of this. Sorry, I have a little boy trying to break into my...
You never have to apologize for the kids coming in.
But, yeah, I mean, the first thing is you need to get the Brazilian government on board. And it, you know, the leader of Brazil seems to have some echoes of President Trump in that. Very pro-business, and you know, there are some that believe that that this firewall started because he was allowing massive deforestation of these big parts of the Amazon, and that led to these big fires, but then also kind of has a verbose attitude like, well, we're Brazil, we can handle it on our own, we don't need any help. But a lot of times these massive fires, that the only way they end up, you know, coming to an end is that they burn themselves out. I mean, we've seen this, you know, with the fires in our own country. It's very hard for man, or for humans, to stop these massive right. fires from happening. This is a global emergency. I mean, I think the stats that something like 20% of all oxygen in the world yep. comes from this part of the world. And I, you know, it took a while for us all to realize that. It didn't become a big story until perhaps it was too late. So I don't know if there's a scientific solution to this, Steve, but at the very least, it seems as though this should be front and center on every world leader's watch, because this is something that impacts us all.
Yeah, we shouldn't nuke it then. We should not nuke the forest.
I don't think that nuking it would help. I mean, we could at least discuss that, but I'm not sure right. what that would do.
Probably not great.
Okay. Well, we've been talking about it this morning. What do you think about this small group of Republicans that are now going to be challenging President Trump in the 2020 race, including former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld and, of course, Joe Walsh as well?
Yeah, well, the thing I find most interesting about this, and I think Walsh in particular, maybe more than Weld, has the potential to get underneath President Trump's skin. And it's interesting when you hear Republicans that could potentially challenge President Trump, you know, there's kind of the ones that would do it just to kind of annoy him versus the ones that would actually have a legitimate shot at beating him. And you notice all the ones that could potentially be serious candidates, like John Kasich or Larry Hogan in Maryland, or even Nikki Haley perhaps in South Carolina, they're all passing. I mean, Nikki Haley never even publicly entertained the idea, although there's some thought behind the scenes that perhaps she was. But Hogan and Kasich, they all say, well, I'm not going to run unless I can win. And I, you know, Donald Trump with 84% support in the Republican Party, there's no way I can win that primary. But you've got somebody like Walsh, who's just kind of a general irritant, right? He's that before, he, you know, when he was in Congress, you know, now that he has his talk show, that's kind of his MO. And he has that kind of potential, you know, he, you know, a silver tongue, he is very smart. And he's also the type of person that's unafraid to say anything. And he's clearly not afraid of Donald Trump. I guess the big question I have is how much of a stage will he be provided? You know, he certainly is probably going to get on MSNBC a lot. I'm sure CNN's going to put him on a lot. How much he gets on Fox, I don't know. I think it's probably unrealistic that he gets a debate of any kind. How hard is it going to be for him to raise money and then, by extension, get on television in some of these early states? You know, I think more than anything, what he's going to be able to do is take the cable news platform and just drive Trump nuts.
Yep.
And then does that... You know, does that have him take his eye off the ball, you know, and have to deal with that before he goes into a general election contest? But I think you need to be realistic about this. There's really no chance somebody like him can win the Republican primary. But, man, it is something that could have an impact. I just don't know what degree that impact would be.
Well, I think the impact is it exposes Trump in a greater way for being incompetent. But also it gives Joe a national platform again to sort of rebuild his own image and do whatever he wants to with it. That's an interesting thing because, like you said, Weld's a brilliant guy, but he's not right. he's not exciting. Sanford's a real conservative, but he's not exciting. Walsh is an interesting guy. He's fun. Yeah. He can be funny. He can also be very annoying, but he knows all that, and he's willing to apologize for the stupid things he said in the past. So we'll see where it goes. He's going to be on this show tomorrow. So I like the idea of you being outside, and I bring you in as a surprise guest to ask him questions.
Well, if I had the opportunity to talk to him, the first question I would ask is, can you raise any money? And, you know, and where does that money come from? You know, that's the biggest problem when you have an incumbent Republican president or any incumbent. The insurgency, it is so hard for an insurgent like Joe Walsh or Mark Sanford or Bill Walsh to raise any money. And so, you know, where can you build that money from somewhere? I mean, he does have a national platform with this radio talk show. And I do think that is going to be his biggest impediment. But, you know, there are still, you know, a fair number of Republicans who don't necessarily like Donald Trump, but like his policies. And does Joe Walsh fit that mold? And can he peel away some of them just to drive nuts? I think that's what remains to be seen. I think it's almost impossible, but, you know, it certainly could have an impact.
Well, yeah, and I remember a guy that looked like me in 2015 said there's not a chance Donald Trump could get elected. There's not a chance he'll be the nominee. It's like Dumb and Dumber, my friend.
Yeah.
I'm saying there's a chance. All right, thank you, buddy.
All right, have a good one. Take it easy.
That's Ryan Nobles from CNN. Well, that music can only mean one thing. It's time for Super Joe's White Sox Trivia Question of the Week. And this is going to get you four tickets to see the Sox and the Angels this coming Friday night. Or is it next Friday night? Next Friday night. Is it next Friday night? Yeah, it's next Friday night.
Yeah.
It's Friday, September 6th. Super Joe, what's the question?
All right, so Jose Abreu drove in two runs in yesterday's win over the Rangers.
Good for you, Jose Abreu.
Yes, indeed. Giving him an even 100 RBI on the season. It's the fifth time in six seasons that the Cuban slugger has reached the century mark. He is one of just three White Sox players to have at least 100 RBI in five or more seasons. Who are the other two?
Oh, okay, that's a good question.
That was a long question.
Give it to us again.
White Sox first baseman Jose Abreu reached the 100 RBI mark for the fifth time in his career. Mm. Who are the other White Sox players to have at least 100 RBIs in five seasons with the White Sox?
Mm. Dave knows. I can tell by his eyes.
I think so.
Let me ask you a question. Is it Shoeless Joe Jackson?
It is not, but I did look him up. He had, in his last season in 1920, he had 132 RBI.
That's a lot. Now, by the way, I have to salute you, Super Joe. Super Joe says it correctly. When Dave and I were kids, we always said RBIs.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this many RBIs. You never said RBIs?
I always say RBIs. I still say RBIs. Yeah. I'm going to say RBIs till my grave.
Yeah. Runs batted
in. I know what it means.
Doesn't mean Reserve Bank of
but
India.
But it's not the way it's said.
Yeah, RBI is actually the correct terminology. I know. RBIs is the way we were taught.
Yes.
Oh, run batted in.
Yeah, runs.
Not ins.
Runs batted in. Well, by saying RBI, you're saying runs batted ins.
It should be RSBI if you want to be totally correct.
RSBI.
That's a good point.
I'm going to start that.
Right? But it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It makes sense to say RBIs.
So Joe is a true Sox fan?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So even when you guys were doing the Cubs games, he was a true Sox fan?
Yeah. Well, you know, Joe played with Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Oh, really? Well, he's aged really beautifully.
Get four tickets to see the White Sox and the Angels Friday night, September 6th at 7:10. If you have the correct answer, we'll get you a winner next on 720 WGN. Roberts and Wicker Park. Boy, I hope you have the right answer, Robert. Two other guys. Who are they?
Paul Konerko and Frank Thomas.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Who are you going to bring to the game?
All my golf buddies.
Nope, just one. No, we got four tickets for you. So three of your golf buddies can go.
I love it. Being a Sox fan pays off in this town.
As long as you're listening to 720 WGN, pal. That's what I'm saying. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And congratulations to Robert.
He's a character. I can tell. Robert would be fun time.
He apparently thought we were giving him 30 or 40 tickets.
I love that.
He knew who had multiple 100 RBIs.
RSBI. RSBI.
It's a pet peeve of mine.
I understand. I do.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
It's 8:15. It's time for more on entertainment. And Dean, Friday night, live from Zanny's in St. Charles.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Yeah, you weren't there. But we had people screaming moron at me from the crowd. I couldn't have been more proud.
That's nice.
You know, they actually had their hands over their heads swaying back and forth going, moron, moron.
I'm not going to be happy till this happens in a church.
Give it time. I was in church yesterday. I didn't hear it, but maybe it said under my breath.
I'm sure people thought it.
So thanks again, everybody at Zanny's in St. Charles. Had a great time. It was one of my favorite shows.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, and Dean, you being there in spirit was a big moron help. Now, that was stress test number one. Stress test number two is Saturday morning, and I want to thank Doc Randy and Nurse Nancy for taking good care of me as I did a stress test Saturday morning at Edward Elmhurst in Naperville.
How did you do?
Apparently, I aced it.
Really?
Yeah.
Me too.
I mean, what do you wear as you're doing the stress test?
I like a strapless number.
Okay. Kind of I didn't know if you were in a hospital gown.
Kind of an off-the-shoulder little something in heels.
Mean, do you run in the hospital gown? Or
when you do the stress test, can't you just put on, like, gym pants or shorts or something?
Yeah, it's shorts. Okay. And workout stuff on. Now, I've had three or four in my life, and I remember the first time I went, this is going to shock you, I had it wrong on my calendar. This is back in the days when calendars were actually on paper. I think we called that the early 90s. And I show up at the place, and I realize I don't have sneakers. I'm wearing, like, dress shoes.
Mm-mm.
And I did the stress test dress shoes and, like, regular grown-up pants. And I'm telling you, for, like, a month afterwards, I had shin splints.
Oh.
You're running in dress shoes.
So you're not just walking on an incline, but you're actually running?
Every couple of minutes, the incline gets higher and the speed goes up on the treadmill.
Okay.
We should have really filmed this.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, not so much.
Well, I have my physical tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. I'm doing it.
Is this a requirement of Moron Entertainment Enterprises
where
they want to make sure that we're healthy?
Yeah, because we have that moron insurance plan that we're on.
Yeah, the life insurance plan. I'm the recipient.
Yeah.
Dean's coming to our clinic. It's called Turn Your Head and Cough.
Dave was super physical over the weekend. I'm not 100% sure what you did, but you were posting pictures of physical-looking stuff.
That was the mutter, the tough mutter.
The tough mutter.
Yeah.
And by the way, mutter spelled M-U-D-D-E-R, mutter.
Yeah, it was fun.
We're going to break that down coming up in a little bit. We've got some footage we need to go to.
Break me down.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was fun.
What'd you do? Don't leave a single thing out. We have 40 seconds.
I went to a friend's birthday party on Saturday night. That it was at a cooking school. And the instructors at the school taught us all how to make pizza from scratch.
You already knew how to do that.
I did, but it's fun. You know, you learn new things from
like what did you
actual
learn?
Professional chefs. Learned about the different kinds of pizza dough. I know that's not as exciting as getting a stress test, but...
Actually, they had me spinning pizza dough while I was doing the stress test.
Yeah, but it's just fun to do stuff like that.
What's your favorite kind of pizza to make?
I made a margarita pizza with fresh basil on it and black olives.
I love margarita pizza, but it feels like a cop-out to me. It's just crust, cheese, and sauce.
No, it's delicious.
No, it's mozzarella cheese and fresh tomatoes. Yeah. Fresh basil.
I like a margarita pizza. I like a martini pizza, too.
I feel like a lot of people are buying those pizza ovens now, like the home pizza ovens.
Yeah, everybody's doing it out, you know, outside.
And you can, on the grill, it's the greatest on the grill. I do that all the time.
You grill a pizza?
Yeah.
Come over here and do one of your shows so we can have some
pizza. Why don't you just come over here and cook? Maybe we put you on here, maybe we don't.
Yeah, we have a full kitchen there. That would be nice. Pizza on the grill is the greatest. You do, you stretch out the dough and then put it on the grill so one side gets toasted, take it off, and then you flip it. So now the toasted side is where you put all the toppings. You put it back on the grill for a few minutes. So now the uncooked side cooks on the grill.
What do you treat the grill with so it doesn't stick to the grill?
You just put a little oil on the grill.
I love that. Or 10,
pizza stone. Some people put...
10W-40, like a Pennzoil?
I like to put STP on mine.
If you use your grill daddy beforehand,
you
then
really don't need much lubrication. Yeah.
What's a grill daddy? Is this a hot man that comes around and like preps your grill for
this
you?
This will make you a hot man.
Don't get them started.
This is the greatest steel brush to clean your grill ever that we were all turned on by Dave.
Steel brush with a canister in it. Fires hot water out of the front while you're brushing.
Sounds sexy. Yep. Grill daddy, grill.
Steam cleans your grill.
Did you snort?
Yeah, I did, actually.
You did.
You can go see a doctor about that.
What, again? They say a side effect of the stress test is snorting. Yeah, it could be.
If you're doing it right.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks to Nurse Nancy and Randy. Nurse Nancy, a fan of the show. Randy, be a new fan of the show. So nice. I like to find people who don't listen to the show and go, why? You know, something really subtle.
Like, don't you like medical personnel that would care for you to be listeners, though?
I've had it happen on several occasions, Dean. I'm sure you have as well, where somebody recognizes you in a very vulnerable position.
Yeah.
With the hospital gown open in the back,
My favorite story. I won't go into all the details, but let's just say I was going for one of my colonoscopies, and you were in like the moment of truth, and the nurse who was prepping you, you know, getting you ready for the colonoscopy, goes, "So you're Dean Richards."
All of you.
I had to have a test where I had to be shaved.
Ooh la la.
And the nurse that did the shaving was a fan, and she started, I'm not making this up, started saying, "Getting to know you, getting to know all about you."
Did that help break the ice, or did it make you more nervous?
I laughed very hard.
Oh, good.
And she said, "Don't laugh, I could cut something."
It's better than singing, "I Will Survive."
Yeah. I will survive. I hope I will survive.
Mine made me nervous.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about movies. Who's the nicest movie star when my buttocks is exposed?
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm apparently overdue for a colonoscopy because I was told that. So I have to go back in, and Dave wants that. He needs to get one, so we're going to see if we can get a Groupon. Dean, you want in on that?
Yeah, sure. It's like a couples massage.
If all three of you get a colonoscopy, I think we should put that on video.
Yeah, we'll do a video.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
I'm told that I talk a lot when I'm going under
Twilight. Of course you do.
And I'm told I ask the same questions over and over again.
Do you think that we're shocked by this news?
I don't ever want to see a video of me.
We just want to get you afterwards.
Drunk.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the video of the colonoscopy itself?
Okay. No. Okay. No, no. But to me, it sounds like the driver's ed videos we saw when, they'd show you really bad crashes.
It's like videos of, like, the Autobahn.
Really? I don't even know what that means, but it's funny.
It's like a super highway.
The prep is so bad.
Oh,
and it's gotten better, but the prep is so bad. There's no video of the prep.
Oh, it's horrible.
But the prep's bad.
Okay.
Except you feel like, you know, you've just had the best diet program ever. You finish the prep, and then you do the thing the next day. And the first time I had a colonoscopy, I thought they didn't do anything. Somebody just wheeled me in and they didn't do anything.
So ridiculously easy.
Yeah, you should feel like something happened to you, and you don't feel like anything happened to you.
I mean, fine. Well, that's a good thing, though, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but not beforehand. Oh, man, they got to come up with something else.
Now seems like a good time to break.
Enjoy your breakfast, everyone.
Yeah, have some milk with that.
Yeah, yeah. Eat your Raisin Bran, everybody.
Moron Entertainment is just minutes away from announcing our first colonoscopy app. You just hold the phone up to your butt and it's over. It's 8:23. We're back with the Dean stuff in just a second.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Apt Electronics, ready to help you today with what you want. A new TV, upgrade to an LG OLED TV from Apt. And enter a whole new dimension of picture quality. Imagine seeing the on-screen action of the WGN TV morning news. It'd be almost indistinguishable from reality. Isn't the show already deemed indistinguishable from reality?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who's singing in the background now?
That's just Paul.
Oh, Conrad?
He's doing something on TV.
Right next to your head?
Well, the TV, you know, he's on TV, so you can turn the sound on.
Oh, I see. Well, maybe just pay attention to us, huh?
You were doing the traffic or something.
No, I'm doing a commercial.
Oh, okay.
Ready?
Is it
perfect
a good one?
Blacks of LG OLED technology are there too. Built-in Google Assistant, a stunning finish, or just the icing on the cake? You like cake?
I love cake.
Experience the full line of OLED TVs at Apt and get yours today. Get free delivery and a guaranteed low price. And Dean works there on the weekend. It's Apt.
I love Apt, too. I think I love Apt more than I love cake.
Wow. That's impressive. Apt pleasing people since 1936. Dave?
Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, yep. Paul Conrad, Dean Richards.
That's a good show.
And the entire WGN-TV morning news team weekdays. 4 to 10.
You'll be calling sounds very mixed up.
Dean Richards. Entertainment.
Sponsored by Ravinia. Back to Dean. First, a helpful texter, Dean. So Dean and Steve, they see your face, they don't know you, but they see your hiney and your colon and your private parts, and all of a sudden it's dawned on them who you are.
Right. Yeah. You're always scared that they're going to be telling people that they saw you naked.
Mm.
I have a very recognizable hiney.
Yeah, it's unforgettable.
You can pick it out of a lineup. All right, so the Disney Fan Expo this weekend.
Oh, that was huge in Anaheim, California, where they revealed lots of new things that are going to be on this new Disney platform, the online platform called D23. They announced that Kit Harington from Game of Thrones is going to be in an upcoming Marvel movie called The Eternals. That's a big deal. They announced the release date for Black Panther 2. It's going to be May of 2022. They showed some new footage from the Cruella De Vil movie that stars Emma Stone. We have that up at WGNTV.com. We saw some first footage of the new Star Wars movie that's coming out in December. There's a new poster, which is a big deal, and I realized what a fanboy I was today. I just posted some new video footage that they released that's kind of a history of Star Wars. So it's got a lot of scenes from the old classic Star Wars movies, and then it seamlessly goes into footage from the new movie. I literally almost started crying. I was so moved by it all.
That's
well,
so
I'm going to send you my autographed my autographed Jar Jar Binks action figure.
Oh,
I'm gonna send
it over. Yeah, that's nice.
Breaking Bad News.
Breaking Bad News is also kind of a first look thing that they released over the weekend. They released a short teaser trailer. Number one, confirming that there will be a Breaking Bad movie. It's only been rumored up until this point, but they released this little teaser trailer. They released the name of the movie called El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie. We know that it's going to be centered around Aaron Paul's character, Jesse Pinkman,
So it's not a prequel?
It's not a prequel, apparently. It's going to be what happened to Jesse Pinkman after the Breaking Bad series, which doesn't mean there can't be flashbacks that take you back into prequel land, because that would be a good way of getting Bryan Cranston into the whole thing.
He's one of the great actors anywhere.
Absolutely. We know that Bob Odenkirk is in it because he spilled the beans about a week ago and said that the movie was made. But now we also know that it's going to be on Netflix on October 11th. For a couple of weeks, and then it's going to move over to the AMC network where Breaking Bad began.
There's a lot of licensing money out there. Are they licensing the meth at all, or you can get some actual movie meth?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think maybe when you go to the concession stand, you can get like milk duds.
Milk meth.
Popcorn, jujubes.
Pop meth.
Yeah. Meth.
Juju
sprinkled,
meth.
Sprinkled with meth.
This is a sad story. I used to hang out with Eddie Money a bit. We were pals back in the day, and frankly, I've lost touch with him, but he's not well, huh?
He is not well. He revealed over the weekend that he is suffering stage 4 esophageal cancer.
God, that's too bad.
And that it has spread to his liver and his lymph nodes.
No.
So the prognosis is not good. Steve, for your stress test, this was discovered during a routine physical. That's why we have to go for a routine physical.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We can find things and try to stem them when possible. But Eddie, he's 70 years old, gave us Take Me Home Tonight, Two Tickets to Paradise, Baby Hold On, just all kinds of hits from the 70s.
It almost punched me in the face on stage.
Oh, why?
Why?
Because it was his birthday, and one of our geniuses at this little radio station I worked at in Charleston, South Carolina, thought it'd be really cool if we gave him a birthday cake.
Mm.
So I had to tell the band, when he comes out to do Take Me Home Tonight, one, two, three, take me, don't play. So he did one, two, three, they don't play. He turned around with a look like he was going to kill everybody on stage, and he saw me with a cake. He wasn't happy.
Oh, no.
We had some laughs backstage about it and laughed later, but Eddie Money wanted to murder me at that point.
Mm.
Here's your cake, Mr. Money.
I was going to ask, how'd you recover?
So I was 22. I had a lot of confidence. All right. Rachel Dratch in the news. Kanye's in the news. Dean will get to all that coming up. But I'm curious, is Hasbro getting into the rap business?
Hasbro, over the weekend, did acquire Death Row Records.
No, they didn't.
They did.
You're making it up.
They did. Death Row Records, that was founded by Suge Knight, gave us the likes of Tupac Shakur, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, among many, many, many others. I mean, one of the founding record labels of hip-hop music was acquired by the company that owns Mr. Potato Head, My Little Pony, G.I. Joe. The reason that this happened is that a couple of years ago, a company called Entertainment One acquired Death Row Records when they went bankrupt. So this big entertainment company owned it. This entertainment company also happened to own the figure Peppa Pig.
Sure.
You familiar with Peppa Pig?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As a grandpa, I'm sure you must be.
Pops, not a grandpa.
That's what I meant, Pops.
Well, I could see this happening because they've already put out a couple of things. They're Slinky Biatches.
Yep.
And My Little Pony's in the hizzy.
Oh, my goodness. You were prepared for this.
Yeah, I didn't know.
How long have you been thinking about this?
Well, quite a bit. And finally, who's making the most money in Forbes' latest edition of top paid actresses?
The number one. Last week, we told you Dwayne The Rock Johnson's the top paid male actor. Top paid female actress is Scarlett Johansson.
ScarJo?
$56 million last year.
It's a good year
for
nice.
Her. Yeah, not a bad good year. Take. I was surprised at the number two earner,
Oprah,
of the year, that you would think would be like one of the big actresses, movie actresses.
Alison Rosati.
It's Sofia Vergara.
Oh, is that right?
From Modern Family. She made $44 million, followed by Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, and Jennifer Aniston.
Huh.
Well, Samrick would be happy about Jennifer Aniston. She loves Jennifer Aniston.
She's amazing. Yeah. Still looks unbelievable.
Tell Samrick. All right, buddy. Thank you for all that. That sounded kind of emotional there, didn't I? Thank you for all that.
That's how I was when I saw the Star Wars footage.
All right. We'll talk to you later. That's Dean. He's on TV. You can watch him if you want, and you should.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Texas says we have colonoscopy parties. Several family and friends have the same gastro doctor, Dr. Borker.
Is that a real doctor?
I think so.
Dr. Borker?
Last year, my brother and boyfriend went together. I only had one.
What in the world is happening in this family?
What a weird family outing that is. I only had to drive back and forth to the hospital. We all went out for lunch afterwards. Well, you can eat anything you want after. This Thursday, my girlfriend and I will be at Glenbrook Hospital for ours. Significant others going with, and again, a big lunch afterwards. Everyone have a colonoscopy party. Make it fun.
That's hilarious.
That would be an interesting
gig. I guess because you're hungry afterwards, right? Because you can't eat before.
Yeah, because you haven't eaten before. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
In a day or so. It's 8:45. Dave, you and young Steven survived the Tough Mudder?
Survived and pretty much thrived. Yeah.
Wow. Dave, look at his arms. He's all scratched up.
I am all scratched up and I'm all bruised.
I thought you were attacked by a random kitty cat.
It could have been. Could have been. But, I got through it. And it was really a lot of fun.
What was the toughest part?
There are always a few new obstacles. And, of course, when we talked to the guy.
For people to know what this is, it's sort of a sadomasochistic American Ninja Warriors.
It is. Yeah. We ran, I think, about, it's between 8 and 10 miles, and there are 25 obstacles. And it's climbing over walls, it's climbing under barbed wire, it's crawling like under barbed wire in mud.
Like a military obstacle course.
Yeah, kind
in
of.
Boot camp.
So kind a lot of icky water, was there?
Yeah, there was a lot of mud.
Yeah.
And there's the famed, as we talked about last week, the Arctic Enema.
That's their name.
That's their name. I'm not making that up. But it's a tub of water where they're constantly pouring ice cubes into it.
Mm.
And you have to submerge. You have to go under an obstacle and come up the other. It's only about, 20 feet long, but it's you run, you jump in, you go under the obstacle, and you come back out. And it wasn't all that hot on
Saturday.
Wouldn't
it have been just easier for you to have run the triathlon at this point?
Or to have a colonoscopy?
Less mud.
Well, yeah, maybe well, one of them. Yeah, but this is it's a challenge. It's like the triathlon in that it's a challenge.
Plus, it's cool bonding with your kid.
It is. It's a great, and he helped me through a lot of it this year because some of it, it's not easy, and I needed
some of
help.
It's not easy. 8 to 10 miles, barbed wire, and mud. Come on.
There's one thing, one new thing they have this year called the Swamp Stomp, where you basically. You go off into the woods, and all of a sudden you're in deep, thick mud, and
like
it gets deeper. Yeah, and Mary was just like quicksand, and all of a sudden, my shoe comes off in the mud, and I reach down, and I could not pull it out. My son, the two of us together, were able to pull my shoe out of the mud.
That's this was like this vacuum thing. Stuck.
Yeah. I mean, it was really, you just get the feeling you're going to sink into it. And it went on for 10 minutes or so to get out of it. But
how was your time compared to last year?
It was about the same. About 4 hours we were on the course.
Wow. 4 hours?
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot of miles.
We ran the whole thing.
This is a lot of bonding time.
It is.
Strenuous circumstances.
The obstacles break it up exactly, okay. And so you get a little break in the running, and you wait and you do the obstacle. And
there's 20 obstacles.
25 this year.
25 obstacles in 4 miles.
They have two which have electricity.
Oh.
And they tell you at the beginning, if you have a pacemaker or anything, don't do these. Well, there's one that we knew about, and they've always stressed that it's extremely voluntary, and a lot of people skip it. It's called shock therapy, where they have these low-voltage electric wires hanging down, and you run through and try to avoid them. And you get a little mild shock if you hit
How
them.
Mild is the
I,
shock?
I never did it. And I don't want to do it.
Smart.
But there's another one. We were halfway through it where you're crawling on your belly under these wires. And we didn't realize there was electricity involved. And then I heard the guy in the next lane go, ow! He said, I just got shocked. And sure enough, there was, a low-voltage wire going through it. So I didn't get shocked.
See,
I just stayed up.
I don't trust the people rigging up these obstacles. I would not trust them.
What a bunch of sickos.
I do. I trust them.
This is a big operation, right? They do this around the country?
Yeah, they do it all over the country. And they did 2 days out of Rockford Airport. We went Saturday. They did it again yesterday. Yeah. And they have different... we did it's called the Classic. There's also a 5K. I think there's a kids one. There's a tougher mudder, which is longer and harder.
Mm. I think that's cool.
It's a really cool thing. They had, I think I heard 9,000 people out there on Saturday.
I think I will continue to have my bonding moments with my parent over a bottle of wine.
Well, there's that, too.
But you also get a free beer at the end.
Oh, well, then that makes it worth it, Dave.
One free beer for 10 miles.
You're still finding dirt in various places of your body, Dave?
And bruises that I didn't know I had.
Oh, man.
Next year,
am I making this sound really
appealing?
Appealing?
Now, next year, my first middle-aged man mutter is going to be run. And again, that's get out of a recliner without sounding like you're, you know, dying.
Right.
And then bend over and pick up your car keys that have been dropped on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Walk over to the refrigerator. Make yourself a sandwich. Come back, but with remembering the beverage, because so often we come back, we go, oh, I didn't bring you something to drink. You got to go back a second time, because we'll take off points if you have to go back for something you forgot. And then sit back down in the recliner and find the remote within a reachable distance. If you can do all that in 4 hours, congratulations.
That's pretty demanding.
It's the middle-aged man, mutter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hmm. Are you in your boxer shorts when all this happens, or like are you fully like?
And where's the mutter part, Steve?
Yeah, like where's the mud part?
It's actually mother. Did I say mother? Because you call your mother just to say hi while you're sitting there. So look, it's got a few kinks we got to work out. I don't know what you want.
I got you.
Texter says I wanted to have a post colonoscopy party. We should put up pictures and guess whose colon it was. Said it didn't go over so well. And then another texter was very impressed about the people that got together. Said most families can't even eat a Thanksgiving meal without arguing.
Mm-hmm.
These people are getting colonoscopies together. Maybe they could bring us together through this mess the president's created.
I think we have a former colleague who I believe did a couple's colonoscopy.
Wow. Hmm.
I don't know that that helps a relationship. You know, if you're in rocky state at that point.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I guess it helps that you're both, like, prepping at the same time, drinking the yucky drink or whatever.
If you have, as long as you have two bathrooms.
And, but you also have to have someone to drive you, to pick you up. Because you can take an Uber, I guess.
That's what the oldest, that's what the oldest child is for.
Right.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Let me grab this. It's Grandma TT. Good morning, Grandma.
Good morning, Steve. I have to tell you, there's so much more to the mama of Afan. And feel free to laugh anytime you want. I have muscular dystrophy.
Okay.
So, you talk about trying to do all that in a four-hour period of time.
Sure.
I go to sit down and make sure I have my cell phone, my iPad, and the TV remote.
Right.
I sit in a recliner that helps me get up.
Sure.
The only thing is it takes so long to get out of the chair.
Right.
That, you know, you could drive over to Old Orchard and come back by the time I'm done. So I get in the chair, and what do? I don't have the house phone with me.
So now
I got to get up and get the house phone. Take 20 minutes, get back in the chair, get relaxed, and wouldn't you know it, I have to pee. Now I have to get up and go to the bathroom. So I get up and I go to the bathroom. I sit back down, and I have three dogs. And as soon as I get the recliner up, one of them is looking at me and whining because they have to go outside and go to the bathroom.
Well, you're getting more of a workout than Dave got on Saturday.
Oh, please. It is. I'm sweating by the time it's all over. I'm so wore out.
You've got to train one of the dogs to fetch the remote for you and to get these things for you.
That's a good idea.
It never fails. And then I decide that, okay, I'm going to call my mom because I have a 90-year-old mother. So I decide I'm going to call her. So in the interim of getting up and doing all this, I put my phone somewhere else.
And now you don't know where the phone is.
I don't know where. Oh, and the keys thing. Yeah, I was laughing so hard when you were talking about picking up the keys. If I drop anything, it takes me 20 minutes to go find the pickup stick so I can pick something.
Well, that's the thing, because you have a legitimate medical reason. I'm just talking about being an old dude.
But anyway. I'm telling you. You had me laughing so hard because my husband, who doesn't have a muscle condition, believe me, It's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Bingo. I love Grandma TT. She can call anytime. Go ahead and give her everything she wants. Give her one of Ro's cars.
Ro has cars.
Yeah, give one of Ro's cars. Ro's got a bunch of cars. It's a couple minutes before 9. Ross Cochran will be on the show tomorrow.
Who's that?
That'd be the son of Steve Cochran.
Do you know who he is?
Yeah, uh-huh. He'll be on the show tomorrow.
Is he going to be bringing any recent additions to his family?
Boy, that'd be nice, right? I don't know.
Is Mr. Isaac Shepherd coming?
Yeah, we haven't had the privilege yet.
Don't know. We can go by the house. I'll tell you where he lives.
He can't come unless he brings him.
Just shut him out.
Yeah.
The helpful texter says that nice lady that called needs a tool belt from Menards. Just keep her stuff in, right?
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
No.
Next hour, Jared Payton and Daniel Robay. Daniel Robay ran the triathlon that turned into a duathlon. We'll find out all about that coming up here in a little bit. But the news first, that's next on 720 WGN.
Second play of the second half of the 21-yard line. Walter needs two to break the record. High formation. Wing to the right is McKinnon. Galt wide to the left. They send McKinnon in motion through to the left side. Quick pitch to Walter. Looking for the record. Cuts back. He's got it. He's out of it at 25 to the 26-yard line. Walter Payton becomes the National Football League all-time leading rusher, surpassing Jim Brown. And his second carry here in the second half. And that's the equivalent to Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's all-time home run record. And listen to the standing ovation.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
What was that, Dave? 10, 12, 15 years after Brown set the record?
That was 1984.
Well, it'd be almost 20 then.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an unbelievable
one of the
thing.
Great Chicago sports moments. I think a lot of people could tell you where they were when Walter broke the rushing record. This week, WGN-TV is airing Savoring Sweetness, The Life and Times of Walter Payton. Who better to talk about it than his beloved son, Jarrett? And we love him as well. Good morning, beloved.
Good morning, beloved.
Kind of threw you a little bit, didn't I?
Yeah, you got me there a little bit. Just listening to that audio takes me back just a little bit, and kind of so is this project that Rick Tarsitano, my producer at WGN, I've been working on. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to share it with everybody.
So what are we going to see that we haven't already seen? Because a lot of the stuff, you know, we want to see again. But are you able to find anything that about your dad that hasn't already been told or said?
In some ways, I mean, I think a lot of it's been said. It's a crucial time. We're coming into, you know, 20 years of his passing. So for me, being in the business now and being in the media, it's given me an opportunity to kind of, you know, go back through a lot of different Chicago video and Chicago, you know, press conferences that my dad had. I mean, everything normally that we're seeing is normally done by the NFL. So this is something that, you know, we've gotten a chance to do here locally. And
that's cool that you don't have to answer to anybody on it, and you're able to pick out what you want to pick out.
Well, no, without getting into too much, we're trying right now to work with the NFL has been very gracious. So they have been through this process. And
you want me to call them? You want me to call them?
No, no. I've already put in a call. So
you're the concern in Jarrett's voice when he goes, "No, Steve, don't call."
Steve, thanks.
No, Steve. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, just to have the Payton Award and everything that we've done with the NFL to just the relationship. So hopefully we'll be able to use some more stuff. But just the interviews of me getting a chance to sit down and talk with Jim McMahon and Matt Sui and guys who have watched me grow up and saw me in diapers running around in the locker room to now be able to interview them about my dad. It's been surreal.
Dave?
JP, what about some of the non-Bears that you're able to talk to here? Because there's some pretty big names.
Guys that your dad ran over for years.
Yeah.
No, it's a real cool thing because Barry Sanders was in town, and I gave him a phone call and just asked him. I said, you know, he's always been like an uncle to me. And so just when he flew into town, and the cool part about it is people are going to see the interview but not know that he flew into town for an autograph signing and got off the plane and got to the hotel, the first thing that he did before even dropping his bags at in his room, he came to the room that I had set up to be able to do the interview and gave me like 45 minutes of an interview, and my son got a chance to meet him as well. So it was really cool moments that we, you don't get to see those moments, but yeah, just the respect that my dad had for him, it was a really, really cool interview.
Jake?
I'm sure as time passes, it's one of the challenges is just keeping his memory alive as vividly and to put a lens on it that you and the family want to keep alive, right?
Yeah, you know, it's actually, when he passed, we were sitting around trying to figure out how we were going to keep his memory alive. We had no clue. There was no YouTube or anything like that. So the internet has truly helped keep his memory alive. The Bears fans, who we look at as family, have helped keep his legacy alive. And I don't know, it's just a lot coming together. You got September 3rd, the statue is going up of my dad, and then the 4th, this piece is coming out on WGN at 7 p.m., and then, you know, the Bears play and kick off the season against their arch rivals. So a lot moving on for me right now, but I don't think I would like to have it any other way. And I can't wait for Chicago to see this statue of my dad. It's amazing. It's just looking at the face and being able to go with the Bears to Pennsylvania to kind of see it as it was being made and to sit in the room with it. It's 12 feet high, over 3,000 pounds, and to look at it, it's Chicago. It's going to be amazing. So big thanks to the Bears. Big thanks to the city as well. We are very honored, and it's fitting that it's right now, the 100th year celebration. So everybody that wanted it when he passed, I understand that. But I think it's fitting now for everything, and it's going out when it should. And so we're just super excited to be able to share it with everybody as well.
It's just tremendous. And your dad played, I think, till he was 33. Is that about right? 30. He was 33, I think, when he retired. And we've been talking a lot about Andrew Luck and retiring at 29. We talked to Hamp about this earlier this morning. Do you think there was ever a point, and I realize you were young and you might not have been aware, do you think there was ever a point where it went through his mind, you know what, the price you pay to play the game, do you make the decision to maybe give it up before you necessarily have to?
I'm going to answer both questions for you, just to touch on Andrew Luck. For my dad, no, I don't think so. I think he was just built differently, and I mean, he going through a lot of these interviews, the pain that he did play through is something that was remarkable. I don't know how he did it, but it was truly the love for the game. And you know this when you think about it, Dave. I mean, he missed one game, so he played through all those pains. He played through all that stuff, and I still don't understand how he did it, but he was just built differently. But for Andrew Luck, playing the game and knowing what my dad went through, I can understand why he's walking away from the game. It's not – my heart hurt sitting at Lucas Oil watching him walk off the field and hearing fans boo because they were seeing something that was coming over on Twitter right away. That's – to react like that. I mean, people don't want to go back and think about what he went through, not having an offensive line for early on in his career, getting his head beat in every single day.
Well, and it just reminds us that we don't know what we're talking about just because we saw it on the internet. And I hope that the Colts as an organization do an appropriate night to recognize him so the fans could make it up to him for their response yesterday.
It was tough.
Primary sclerosing cholangitis, the liver disease that took your dad, very rare, and maybe that developed in the bile duct cancer. I don't know if we even know. But anyway, how much headway are we making on either one of those conditions?
I don't know. I mean, I know there is, it's still one of those things that is still looked at as very rare. So throughout the process, so the one thing that I do know is I've met a lot of people that have been affected by the disease, and I feel like there is making some headway, but still, I still feel like it's still not there yet. So, but the amount of people that I've met throughout the process, throughout the last 20 years, has been amazing. And so I just try to keep up with as many people as possible that has been affected, either still living with it or that have people that passed. And that's one of the things that has kept me strong over the last 20-some years.
In this greatest city in the world with such an incredible sports history, it's got to be very pleasing for your family to know that when you think Chicago Bears, you think Walter Payton, the same way you think Michael Jordan with the Bulls and Ernie Banks with the Cubs and Frank Thomas with the White Sox. Your father worked his tail off and earned that. And I'm still sad for you and sad for us that we lost so much of time with him, because I think your dad would have been a hoot to have around now with the Bears coming into a season where they're supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, and also with all the grandkids that we have now, sure. That's what's missed the most. So,
can you imagine what a nightmare he would have been for you and your wife with the grandkids? He would have had them into everything.
Yeah, well, we could have sent them with him, and they would have just been outside running around. It would have been a great time for us to just hang out and chill a little bit.
So, listen, congratulations on all of your success, including the CLTV show. We're on CLTV right now. You want to plug that?
Yeah, CLTV, my man Josh Friedman, Larry Holly, our producer, every day, Sunday through Thursday, 6 p.m., and then you can watch me at 4 o'clock on WGN when doing sports. I'll be there today. Not feeling well, but I'm going to be in the fold today, so I had to take a day off yesterday.
You got a cold? What's going on?
No, I think it's just allergies, man.
Oh.
I
don't know what it
is. Yeah.
So the change of the weather. But
we're trying to diagnose Steve as well.
He's I didn't bring it up, but I've had a throat thing all morning.
I have too. It's been like trying to, I don't know. So I think I'm just going to go work out and hopefully sweat it out and figure it out.
That's the thing, because you guys are both finely tuned athletes. Yeah. So that's
Steve
probably
is going to do the same thing.
What are you laughing about, Peyton? I know my body's a temple. It's a Buddhist temple.
I love you guys, man. Thank
all right, man. Love you back.
See
you. That's Jared Payton. He's a great dad. You ever see him with the kids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
can you imagine Walter as a grandfather? What a hoot that
would have
been.
Plus, he's got Brittany's kids, too.
Right.
So.
And Connie, amazing woman. We saw Connie at the golf course for Jarrett's golf outing earlier this summer. And she and Brittany and Jarrett and all of their extended family.
Beautiful
great
family.
Job. They did a great job keeping the foundation
absolutely
going and supporting all the stuff that Jarrett's doing now.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Mitch McConnell, the Senate leader, is in the news because his opponent, a military veteran, Amy McGrath, is bringing it and could upset him and beat him next year. There's a lot of time left, a lot of money on McConnell's side, but McConnell has been more destructive and more dangerous than just about anybody, probably even worse than Trump. So this is a commercial Amy McGrath is running about Mitch McConnell. Listen.
It was a 10-hour bus ride. We were coal miners with black lung disease going to see our senator, Mitch McConnell, to try and save our disability benefits. 10 hours on a bus, and we got to see him for all of 1 minute. My stepfather and grandfather died of black lung. Now I can lose my son. Mitch McConnell let the coal companies walk away from us. And then after 1 minute, he did too.
Our coal miners risk their lives to fuel our country and our growth into a world power. I'm Amy McGrath, and we owe them. I learned in the Marines to leave no one behind. But after 34 years in Washington, Mitch McConnell left our coal miners behind years ago. The question for anyone in Congress is, which side are you on? I approve this message because I'm on the side of miners and their families, and I'll never walk away.
Pretty strong stuff. And that refers to a meeting that actually happened where Mitch McConnell deemed it a blessing to spend 1 minute, 1 minute with the coal miners, with Black Lung, who had come to his office and set up a meeting to talk about their support. Think of the 9/11 stuff that went on. They learned absolutely nothing from it. And, you know, the idea that for the 9/11 first responders or these coal miners, you could go, hey, we're kind of busy.
Right.
Give me a freaking break.
I hope she wins. Apparently, previously, coal companies had to pay $1.10 per ton excise tax in order to support the Black Lung Disability Trust Fund. And now the U.S. Treasury Department has had to borrow more than $6 million to sustain itself.
So here is another commercial from Amy McGrath. And if you know people in Kentucky, I urge you to let them know they need to go out and vote for Amy McGrath.
And we should all just donate some money for her campaign.
There you go,
contribute
Dave.
Some money.
Yes, there you go. Here's an earlier commercial. Listen.
Everything that's wrong in Washington had to start someplace. How did it come to this? That even within our own families, we can't talk to each other about the leaders of our country anymore without anger and blame. Well, it started with this man, who was elected a lifetime ago, and who has, bit by bit, year by year, turned Washington into something we all despise, where dysfunction and chaos are political weapons, where budgets and healthcare and the Supreme Court are held hostage, a place where ideals go to die.
Very strong. Very strong. That's a shortened version of it. It's next November. You set aside the day to vote. We'll remind you constantly. We'll beat it into your psyche over and over again. But it's way too important not to. And think about the fact that navel lint is more popular than the United States Congress. That a nice wart on your toe is more popular than the United States Congress. If anybody had failed at the level that Congress has failed, they would have been thrown out of their jobs forever ago. So tell me if you're going to vote these same people in, starting with Mitch McConnell. It's 9:32. We need a break. We're going right to the headlines.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Did you hear about space crime? It's a new series I'm producing, Space Crime, Crimes in Space.
No.
What are you talking about?
There's an actual space crime that may have been committed for the first time. Two women who are married, both in the NASA program. One in the way of their separation, one on the space station, tapped into either the current wife or the former wife, tapped into her computer finances.
Uh-huh.
And either moved some money or reallocated some money without her permission. So some sort of financial fraud from a NASA computer in space. Space crime.
What are you talking about?
Space crime.
Really? People in space have better things to do, don't they?
Well, she had a lot of time. She was in the space station. Astronaut Anne McLean's former partner, Summer Worden, was accused of committing identity theft from the International Space Station.
She needed LifeLock.
Exactly.
How can you arrest her? How can they arrest her up there?
Well, as soon as she touches down, the police will be there waiting for
she
her.
She is still up there, right?
She is still up there, yeah.
Yeah.
I think too many space movies. I think you kind of.
Space crime.
That isolation, you know? There. And then who knows how not having gravity affects your body.
Yeah. Space crime.
You start committing
space crime
you
over
start
and over
committing
again.
Crimes.
Are you seeing that might be an argument at trial?
Yes, absolutely. I'm helping to launch her defense right now.
Go Robin.
We've had a lot of people in space who have not committed any crime.
Oh, you didn't hear about
that. We know.
Well, Neil Armstrong killed a couple of moon men.
I don't think that's
Martians?
True.
Yeah, true,
aliens might have got robbed. Who knows?
You may have heard this weekend that the triathlon turned into a duathlon. What's that and how was it? Well, let's ask a friend of yours. You want to introduce her?
Yes. This is Ms. Danielle Robay. Many in the Chicago area will remember her. She was a host of the Jam show on WCIU, but she is famous. She's on national shows. She's been on Larry King. She now works with NBC in LA, and she does projects in New York. She's just all over the place.
She's a nonstop worker. And Danielle, did you marry Larry King? He's had so many wives, I forget.
Hey guys, thanks so much for having me on.
Sure.
I did not marry Larry King. He did have eight wives. I am not one of them.
Okay, all right. Well, just you saved us time, so we wouldn't have to go back and check the roster. I want to plug all of your events.
I hope you get some prenups.
I want to plug all of your events, but we're only on until 10. So let's talk about the duathlon instead of the triathlon. When did you find out you guys wouldn't be swimming?
You know, I found out early in the morning. A good friend of mine from news in Chicago texted me. And we didn't even get an email alert or anything. But I think things were looking a little rocky the night before because the water levels were so high. And I think people could tell things were imminent, but it's never been canceled before. The swim has never been canceled before, so it was kind of unprecedented.
Well, I follow Danielle on her Instagram, and so should everybody listening. She has over 230,000 followers.
Wow.
So I know that the swim portion was the part that you were the most nervous about. And how did you feel when you found out that you weren't going to be completing that leg?
I personally was really bummed. First of all, I wanted to wear the wetsuit and look like Storm. I had trained for the swim probably the most of the three of us because it is the most nerve-wracking for most people. And to find out we weren't doing it was a bummer. But I think per talking to everybody the morning of, they were all like, okay, well, it means we have to sign up for another try this year so that, you know, we get the full experience. And it was my first triathlon, so what was really cool was seeing the triathlon community in Chicago. Everybody is so supportive. They were, like, helping each other rack their bikes, forgoing their own time to help one another, which I was really shocked by.
You know, the thing about this without the swim is it's not just a two-leg thing, right? Because you ran, biked, and then you ran again?
Yeah, they had us run about 3/4 of a mile to our bikes, then we biked, and then we ran again.
How long was the second run?
I did the sprint, so it was 3 miles, but for the international try, it's 6 miles.
So in the beginning, you do six as well?
No, it was a little less than a mile in the beginning.
Okay, a little less than a mile, and then you bike. How long was the bike?
Yeah. So for the sprint, it's 15. For the international, it's 25.
I'm telling you, man, it's a lot of work.
I mean, Danielle, you're already in great shape. I mean, you were in great shape before this. But how long did you train? And then tell me, how do you feel now that you've accomplished this incredible feat?
So this was, I call it my breakup triathlon. I broke up with my boyfriend, or shall I say he broke up with me. And
he's crazy.
Wait a minute, hold on a second.
No, not possible.
When did this happen? Recently?
In January and February. So I was on the couch thinking, like, I have to get off the couch, but what's going to make me do this?
What an idiot, and Steve.
Yeah, no, I've seen your picture. We're going to need to give him a checkup from the neck up.
And she's brilliant, too. But anyway, continue, Danielle. Sorry.
Guys are very kind. I knew I had to get off the couch, and both of my parents have done the Chicago Triathlon in the past. It was always on my bucket list. And I thought, better time now than any. And started training, and it was really hard at first because even if you work out, training for a triathlon is just, you use different muscles and it's weird on your body, but it feels so validating because there's something called bonking in training, and it's when your body gives out but your mind has to take over. And that happened to me during the bike. Actually, there was a lot of wind when we came back,
and you bonked.
Yeah, my legs were, like, about to give out. And you mentally have to say, I'm not getting off this bike. Like, I'm pushing through this. And
Dave, did you have that? Yeah, Dave Ennett's here. Dave just did the Tough Mudder for the second time this weekend. Did you ever bonk?
Yeah.
I did not. No, but it's a little different training, though. it's more just kind of I just kind of did my normal workout.
But there's a whole endurance thing in both cases that has to go on. So you've got to talk your head into listen enough so your body will continue to function, right? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly it. And I think the adrenaline helps a lot. And honestly, the people next to you help, like, especially during the run, people help pace each other. And, you know, I saw a woman that was kind of, you know, going slow. I could tell she was out of breath. I'm like, let's go. Let's do this. We ran together for a mile. And it's cool. It's really a community.
Well, this is right up your alley because you're always about supporting other people, especially other women. And you're such a role model for young women out there who are trying to break into the business, too.
Yeah, and for your idiot ex-boyfriend as well.
He couldn't handle how smart and successful she was. And
loser. Loser.
You guys are too kind, but honestly, just quickly, it's because of women like you, G.
Oh, my goodness.
So I just try and put it forward.
So, Danielle, as I said, we don't have enough show to plug everything you're doing. Yeah. So what's the best place to follow all the stuff you do?
Yeah, it's all on Danielle Robay, R-O-B-A-Y, on social media, and I feel like everybody should just tune into your show. I was laughing, listening the whole time. It was so fun.
Oh, and Danielle, give your...
I don't know if anything I do is as entertaining as you guys.
Well, thank you very much. Steve, you know, Steve is good. He's a pro at this. Tell us about your dad, though. Give him a shout-out because you were, you know, he's a well-known guy in the Chicago area.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, my dad, Dr. Willerman, he is a dentist in Chicago. If you need any dental work, there you go.
Is he taking new patients?
On Michigan Avenue. Yes, he is. He's always taking new patients. And he's the best. He makes my teeth all straight and white.
Well, you are beautiful, and what you do is an amazing thing. So keep it up, and thank you for doing this. And shoot me the name of that dope. And
I know who he is. I know he's a dummy.
I'm going to have a talk with him.
Oh, Lord. Hopefully he's not listening.
Thank you. It will be the first relationship I helped torpedo.
Well, she's only going to go higher and onward.
Exactly.
And she's going to get somebody more famous and more handsome and richer.
A better man. A better, better man. Thank you, Danielle.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
See you later. I tell you what, you know, it's one of the great mysteries of life because she's fall down, stop a room, beautiful. And
intelligent and all that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Whole package.
And you think, well, what could have gone through that dude's mind?
Yeah. Well, you know, I got dumped. That's how I moved here. I mean, I'm not as the whole package like Danielle, but
your
I got
package
dumped.
Is just fine.
No, no, no. And that's why I ended up in Chicago because I got dumped.
See, all things work out for a reason. Yes. All the pain that you went through, all the
agony.
It's
good to get dumped.
Right? Worked out for a reason.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Not just any white band. It's the average white band. Crack it up. Bill left his tiptoed in here. Bill, if I said to you, pick up the pieces or cut the cake, what would you say to me?
Huh.
No, that's not the right answer.
Oh. I would say that anyway, though, because I have a hernia.
I was like, what is... You need to go to the doctor, too.
I should definitely go to
When's
the
last time you had a stress test?
Been a long...
Oh. I had a stress test this weekend. Did
you have a stress test?
Yeah, Saturday morning.
They're all going for a group colonoscopy, so I'm going to sign you up as well.
I've had one recently, so I don't need
And
one.
By the way, that has not been confirmed yet. Colonoscopy.
Did you walk up the ramp?
Yeah, ramp gets fun. Higher and faster.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a point where they throw tennis balls at you while you're doing it.
That's optional.
Yeah.
You signed on for that part?
Yeah, and there's also a third option. We never got to it, but if you're on it 20 minutes or longer, they tickle you. They come on.
Oh.
Goody, goody, goody.
I didn't know that. Missed it by 2 minutes. Ugh.
Hey, before we run out of time, I didn't have any other place to do this morning, but since Donald Trump wants to nuke hurricanes, I have a list here of 7 things the government says you should never do after a nuclear explosion.
What are they?
Well, number one is don't hide in your car.
Yeah.
Because the nuke stuff, the radiation can get into your car.
Find you.
Yeah, it can get into your car.
Yep.
Once you're inside, don't stand near the windows. Because the compression from the blast will blow your windows out. If you've been evacuated, don't try to return home until officials say it's safe. I mean, that's why Chernobyl, the real estate prices are so reasonable.
Yes. Get a lot of land out there.
Take a shower as soon as possible and seal away and throw out any contaminated clothes.
Yeah.
Just be careful because you never know when Donald Trump's going to nuke a hurricane. I take a shower every 15 minutes, including here during the show.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, this is interesting. Do not use conditioner when you shower.
What?
I have to.
No, you can't.
Why?
Because the conditioner binds to radioactive material.
My goodness.
So you would get radioactive hair.
My hair's going to be all knotted up if I don't use it.
What about cream rinse, Steve?
We have nothing on cream rinse at this time.
The same thing. The cream rinse sounds gross. What is happening?
Remember we used to call it cream rinse?
Yeah,
cream rinse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was conditioner.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't know why we changed.
Oh, so that's the same thing?
I think it's a little...
Yeah, it's the same, isn't it?
It's different.
Yeah,
it's
a little different. Cream rinse is just so you can comb through it.
Yeah, it detangles.
Oh, okay.
Avoid eating unpackaged food or food that was left outside. I think that's a rule we can live with every day.
Solid rule.
Who left the cold cuts on the lawn? I know we had a lot of groceries to carry in, but somebody go get those. And the last thing is don't look for your family members or people you're missing until the risk of exposure's gone down.
That's awful.
Timmy, stay outside.
So awful.
Mommy will come get you soon.
Thanks for the tips.
Yeah, these are important tips you need to know because Donald Trump is going to nuke a hurricane.
Yeah.
Well, you know that there's this been uptick in these luxury shelter areas that people are building underneath.
Bomb shelters?
Yes. There's like luxury ones now with swimming pools and...
See, you're not old enough to remember this, but the rest of us are. There used to be film strips at school. And the film strips at school would tell you how to save yourself from the, you know, the impending nuclear doom. And it involved getting under a desk.
Duck and cover.
Oh, that. For tornado drills, we had that.
Yeah, we did.
Well, tornado drill, you can survive a tornado. You're not going to survive a nuclear blast.
Yeah, we had those. Believe me, when I was a kid, we had those up in the nation's capital.
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. A nuclear bomb has gone off. Duck and cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so kidding. What are you kids doing today?
Steve Dale's coming on to talk about this whole porpoise thing.
Not all of it, just part of the porpoise thing?
Yes.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
That was good.
That was great.
If you put my squirrel with your porpoise together, it'd be weird.
Wow. That's good.
Right? There you go. That's crazy.
Uh-huh.
Amy Cochran, when she was in college, had someone living on her floor who laughed like a porpoise. And you could hear it walking down the hallway. And the rest of her, you know, the people on the floor wanted to murder her at a certain point. All right, other than the Steve Dale thing, anything else you want to play?
That's the whole show.
That's the show.
3 hours of that, yeah. Okay.
All right, excellent. That's 10 to noon on the radio and noon to one where?
And the bonus hour online.
At?
WGNradio.com.
You scared that I got you in on time?
I'm shocked.
It's 10 o'clock.
I wanted to talk about Dave Ennett's guns. From his,
he's all scratched up.
No, picture that was posted. He's got like these giant guns, and I was bragging to my husband about you. I said, "Look at Dave Ennett."
But you were flexing. Right.
Well,
Dave?
That's what Jim said. Jim goes, "He's flexing." Actually, and by the way, can you ask him what his arm workout is? That's what Jim said.
Yeah. Did you have it posterized and put on your ceiling in your bedroom?
I did.
That was at the end of this very rigorous activity.
Mm-hmm.
Were you doing?
Everything, yeah, in the mud.
That's what Dave calls it when he gets frisky at the house. Vigorous activity.
Feel vigorous?
I can't think about Dave like this.
Thanks, G.